Sworn in as senator in 1997, and he's been serving the great state of Wyoming ever since then. Currently serves as the U.S. Senate Committee on U.S. Senate Committee on Budget, Committee on Finance, Committee on Health, Education, and Labor, Pensions, Committee on Small Business and Entrepreneurship. Thank you, Jesus. Please help me in welcoming United States Senator Mike Enzi.
Thank you. Mr. President,
Mr. Sen.
Fellow senators, Diane and I are real pleased to be here today, and as a point of personal privilege, I have my son and his wife and my grandkids up in the balcony. They've made this a, yeah. My grandson and his friend are working on Cub Scouts and get some actual credit for being here. So, but I want to thank you for what you do. And you do it right. We keep trying to take that message to Washington, and I know that it's difficult. I know the hours are long here. I know that you live primarily on adrenaline, and I know that you recognize that friends come and go, but enemies accumulate. And they accumulate pretty fast while you're doing the work that you're doing. But I want to encourage you to keep on doing what's right and doing your best and treating others as they want to be treated. I'm on a listening session right now around Wyoming. I have done town meetings. Actually, I did ice cream socials. People come with a little better attitude to an ice cream social than they do at a town meeting. But I'm doing something even a little different this time. I'm doing listening sessions. I'll be a couple thousand miles around the state this week in towns listening. I'm not doing a speech to tell them what's going on in Washington. I'm listening to what they think ought to be going on in Washington. And it's quite a revelation. It's nothing that I didn't expect, but there are some good common sense ideas that come from Wyoming, and I'll haul them back to Washington. And as I know from past experience, they won't go very far back there. The ideas are too simple. They don't take up enough pages. You know, your bills are the way we ought to be doing bills in Washington. One topic to a bill and the right to amend. I've been doing a mantra in Washington that's actually catching on. We need to stop deal-making and start legislating, doing what you're doing. I keep pointing out how the committee process has to work. We've had at least 3 years now, and we've been skipping the committee process. And have 4 or 8 or 10 people go off and figure out how to take care of the next contrived crisis. And we bring that crisis right up to the edge, and the media helps bring it up to the edge, and then we kind of come up with a solution, but it's an up or down solution. And as you know, that's not the way to do it. You'd never stand for two people on one end of this building making the decisions for both ends of the building and expecting to be right. In committees where you get to have your expertise come forward, you can figure out the unintended consequences that might happen as a result of the bill. And I often mention back in Washington that my first bill here in the legislature started out three sentences. And I was in the House at the time. And it got amended three times in committee. It got amended two more times on the floor. Then it came down here, and it got amended two more times in committee. And it didn't get amended on the floor. And it passed. But what I realized from that process was that every one of those changes made the bill better. It added something from somebody else's perspective that dealt with that particular topic. And that's what you do, and that's what you do well, and that's what we need to get back to doing in Washington. There is a lot of common ground. Now, of course, one of the things people keep saying to us is, it's time that you folks compromised. No, it's not. Here's my version of compromise. Compromise means I give up half of what I believe in, and you give up half of what you believe in, and we wind up with something that nobody believes in. So what we need to do is find that common ground. And just do the common ground part. There's always going to be 10% from each side that we're going to insist on fighting on. And we're going to fight to the death on it. And it's important to have that debate too. But it doesn't get that much done. Meanwhile, America waits for the 80% to be done. And I keep trying to do that, and you do that well. I was passing a bunch of bills with Senator Kennedy, and Senator McConnell was my leader, and he came up to me and he said, "So, what are you giving up to get these done?" I said, "Well, I don't think I'm giving up anything. Why don't you ask Senator Kennedy?" So later I saw him, I said, "What did Senator Kennedy say?" He says, "He doesn't give up anything. He just wears me down." So, but what we did was the 80%. And we avoided comprehensive. Comprehensive means that you build the bill so big that it includes that 20% you're never going to agree on and consequently winds up with votes against the whole darn thing. That's what happened on immigration before. We'd taken it step by step, we'd gotten it done. That's what happened on Simpson-Bowles in the committee, the Simpson-Bowles committee. If they'd have broken that down into four pieces, all of it would have passed. Of course, everybody on the committee would have been said, "No, that section I didn't like, and I voted against it. I just didn't have the votes to kill it." But a lot of good could have been done. So you didn't buy into the health care exchanges. And we had a big hearing on that this last week in the Finance Committee. And I've got to tell you that it was the most together hearing that we've ever had in any committee that I've been in. Because both the Democrats and the Republicans were terribly upset with the status of health care exchanges. Now, one of the problems, of course, is that they haven't said what a basic package is yet. How do you write a program for people to buy insurance if you don't know what the basic required package is? So that was the main emphasis that both sides lent in their questions to the person having to answer it. And, of course, they assured us that the federal exchange will be in place, that it's already been beta tested. And I think they meant bait tested. We tried to find out who had done the test, and we couldn't find that out. But it's supposed to be in place by October 1st so people can make their selection by January. Now, why would both sides be upset on this? Well, one of the amendments that I got through when we did the health care bill, and it's one of the very few amendments that came from the Republican side, was that everybody in Congress had to go on to the health care exchanges and off of the federal program. So it's going to be vital to all of us. So we're going to be living under the same situation as everybody else in America. Now, interestingly enough, the administrative branch didn't buy into that, so they're going to still have the federal package. But the rest of us will be on the health care exchanges, and so we'll be greatly interested in it. I want to conclude by telling you a little bit about how the math in Washington is working. And I'm going to use the highway bill that we did as an example. I talked about a gas tax back there, and I was promised by the chairman of the committee that we wouldn't be voting on a gas tax. And when it got to the floor, I was promised by the majority leader that we wouldn't be voting on a gas tax. And we did not vote on a gas tax. The Simpson-Bowles bill said that we needed to pass an increase in the gas tax at a nickel each year for 3 years. I tried just going with the rate of inflation and wasn't able to do anything with it. But the highway bill, even though we say we do not raise taxes, has a huge tax increase in it. Now, it's only a tax increase for private businesses that have pension funds for their employees. And the purpose of the tax is to be sure that if the business goes out of business, the people who were promised a pension will get 60% of what they were promised. And that's supposed to go into a trust fund. I've told you before that if it's called a trust fund in Washington, do not trust it. That money does not flow into that trust fund. This increase in taxes flows directly into the highway bill to build 2 years' worth of highways. But to have the money to build the 2 years' worth of highways, we have to divert that money for 10 years into the highway bill. We're spending money 10 years before we've got it. What kind of accounting is that? So we're going to have a sequester here, and I'm pretty sure it will go into effect on March 1st. I don't know that it will last long. I see that a lot of people are trying to undo the sequester. All that does is take us back to the 2008 levels. That's before TARP, and that's before two stimulus bills, and that's before Dodd-Frank, and all of the other things that have spent money. So it's about an 8% decrease. And let's see, didn't you say that the state was supposed to come up with the 8%? Yeah, I think so. Now, one of the problems that I remember from when I was in the legislature is if we did kind of an across-the-board cut, we had a little problem with the agencies picking the thing that was most visible so that people would come screaming down on us to make sure that we reinstituted the money they had. Now, that's what's going to happen on March 1st. I'm sure that the agencies are going to do some very visible things. What we needed to do is to get them to prioritize what they're doing. Tell us what they're doing well, tell us what they're not doing well, and make sure that what they cut are the things that they're not doing well. And that's a step we'll have to go back to if we're going to have any sensible budgeting at the federal level. Otherwise, things will be like that highway bill. And let's see, you've had to deal with the Medicaid as well. And the federal government is not going to be able to meet the promises of Medicaid. So keep doing what you're doing. Keep doing it the right way. And Wyoming, at least, will be on the right track. But hopefully we'll get back to a committee process back there that will work like the Wyoming legislature, and we'll be able to get some effective things done in Washington as well. It can be done. I'm going to try to see that it does get done. Thank you. Thanks for all the training you gave me.
Thank you, Senator Enzi. Diana, thank you so much for your service to the state of Wyoming. We wish you Godspeed. Thank you so much. Members of the Senate, it is now my great honor to welcome back a good friend, our Senator John Barrasso, to the Wyoming legislature. As you know, he served right in this body from 2002 to 2006, before being sworn into the Senate in 2007. He currently is serving on the U.S. Senate's Energy and Natural Resources Committee and the Environment Public Works Committee, Indian Affairs Committee, and the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. He also serves as Chairman of the Senate Republican Policy Committee and Chairman of the Senate Western Caucus. As you can tell, he is really representing us well. It is my great pleasure to welcome back an old friend, Senator John Barrasso.
How are you? Well, thanks so much. It is great to be back here, Tony. Great to be here with you as president. Actually, I brought you a little present. I know. Most of us never thought Tony would ever get to be president of the Senate. So I flew a flag over the United States Capitol in honor of this day, Tony as president of the Wyoming Senate. We can take him all the way. He has a lot of potential, this guy. Anyway, so Tony, let me present to you this flag flown over the United States Capitol in your name and in your honor. Mr. President.
Thank you so much.
This is great.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Well, it's always great to be back. I see Bill Lannon cleaned up the desk a little bit today because in preparation for my return. I'm glad you're sitting next to Leland. He needs a little help a little bit once in a while. And behind Ogden is a good position to have you in, Bill. It's wonderful. I mean, I was going to say Mr. President, but there's so many presidents, former presidents of the Senate here. I mean, with our time together and my fearless leader, Jerry Geis, John Hines, who I had the privilege of sitting next to for my first 2 years in the Senate. Where's former President Anderson? Is the other Anderson. I know it gets confusing, even to those of us. But I wanted to just come back, and I know Mike Enzi gave the whole story. It's such a privilege to work with Mike and work with Cynthia. We try to be available. We want to do anything we can to help. I just wanted to be here to congratulate you for continuing to keep in focus Wyoming vision, Wyoming values, and that's the way you vote. And so often, you know, Washington says, if you give us a little more money and you give us a little more power, then we can make things a lot better. And just, it's good to know that the folks in the Wyoming State Senate and State House are not deceived by that. I know Jerry Geis taught me a long time ago, so many of those strings that are attached are bribery and blackmail. And we just cannot be sucked into doing the sorts of things that Washington may want if they're not consistent with Wyoming visions and Wyoming values. So it's important that we continue with the backbone as well as the heart and the nerve and the guts to stand up for what's right. And we know there's a role for government, but of course it's a limited role, it's not the lead role. Well, you know, that's, and I know Mike talked a lot about that, so I don't want to repeat all of it. But the more we could do to make Washington like Wyoming, the better it would be. If we balanced our budget every year, it'd be better for the country. If we had bills on limited topics, single topic, germane amendments, that would make a huge difference. So I just wanted to be here to thank you for so many things, for the education that I got here from this body, for your continued support, efforts of my wife Bobby, who's a breast cancer survivor, with the Race for the Cure, and you're always out there running and contributing. So thank you for that, and thanks for the privilege of continuing to serve in the United States Senate. Anything I can do to be helpful, we want to be helpful. Mike's traveling the state, I'm traveling the state, and we all three of us try to abide by the code of the West, the Wyoming State Code of that you do each day here, live each day with courage. Take pride in your work. Know where to draw the line. I mean, we can go through all 10 of them. But the most important one right now, because you have a lot of work to do, is speak less, say more. Thanks so much for letting me be right back with you today. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator Barrasso, and on behalf of the Wyoming Legislature, we thank you for your continued service to the state of Wyoming and to the United States. Thank you once again for all that you do for us. Members of the Senate, Casey McKee, would you step over to the podium, please? Members of the Senate, this is Casey McKee. He's our new student page for the remainder of the session. He's a senior at East High School, and I judged his We the People competition, so he's really a stellar kid. On behalf of the Senate, we'd like to give you a pin to wear as you're to recognize your service to the Senate as a page. Of course, the great seal of the state of Wyoming. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Mr. President.
You bet. Okay. We're going to do, Mr. Vice President, Joint Conference Committee Report, House Bill 1.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move the Senate ratify the action of the Joint Conference Committee on the Mere Budget Bill, House Bill 1, submitting a corrected copy of the Joint Conference Committee Report, and as the Senate adopt the corrected copy to replace and supersede the report adopted February 15, 2013.
You've heard the motion. This motion is debatable. It needs, reading clerk will read it in.
Joint Conference Committee Number 1 Report, corrected copy. House Bill 1, General Government Appropriations. Reference Senate Message 8, signed by Representatives Harshman, Ken Escobel, Bob Nicholas, Stubson Wallace, and Senators Bebout, Dockstader, Hastert, Meyer, and Perkins.
Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members of the Senate, you should have two pieces of paper on your desk. One is colored to show some different numbers, and one actually shows the existing language that we had in the Joint Conference Committee report, and one shows a new language. Mr. President, this deals with the compensation package for the employees, and it only deals with the school districts. It only deals with the school districts. And if you look on the second page of the two-pager that talks about what actually was in the conference committee report, the second page shows where the language is inserted and where we put the corrected language within the Joint Conference Committee report. On the first page, Mr. President, it shows the language that we had adopted and the proposed changes. And, Mr. President, what we discovered Friday after everybody had sort of scattered with it, there appeared to be a glitch in the formula that we utilized to deal with the 0.4% increase that we had for the school districts. And you may recall, Mr. President, that there was a difference between the House position and the Senate position. The Senate position wanted to give the school district employees a raise up to 1% regardless of whether they had any step increases or not, and the House didn't want to give them any if they had any step increases or not. Mr. President, in the conferee committee and the negotiations, we came up with an agreement between both of us that said, of course, we have the 1% maximum, and you can see that on the existing language, at least 1%. But they would give them 40% if, in fact, they received 100% of their pay. The glitch occurred, Mr. President, if you'll look at the little I-2 on the language that the JCC adopted, where it says less than 1%, the retention incentive payment authorized shall be 4/10 of the employee's 2013 base salary plus, and that's a key word, Mr. President, plus the entire difference. If you pull the sheet out now with the colors on it, I'll explain where that difference comes up and what the significance of that is, Mr. President. If you look over clear on the left, we took an example if the salary was $50,000. And if you look at the very top line, you'll see that if the hypothetical school district raise to that particular person was zero, and you go all the way across to the far right corner, you'll see that that particular employee would receive $700 or a 1.4% increase. That was a mistake, Mr. President. You know, there was never intended to be more than the $500, which is a 1%, and, of course, that's the way we treated all the state employees. And so what this language does, Mr. President, and I'll read the language and I'll walk you through the chart that explains it, is if you look at the new language, and this is what's been signed by the conferees in both the House and the Senate, at least 1% of the retention incentive payment authorized shall be the stricken language is reduced by 60%. This was confusing. We're talking about a reduction here, and then the next little 2i, we talk about an increase. So to be clear, we said up to 40% of the full retention incentive payment. And this is the agreement that the conferees met both in the House and Senate and agreed upon. Then if you go further on, We go down less than 1%, the retention incentive payment authorized shall be, and we delete 4/10 payment of the employee's 2013 foreign base salary plus, and that's the language we took out, which took those people up to 0.4% more than they were ever authorized to receive. Then we go down further and say, in addition, these qualifying school district employees may receive up to 40% of the difference between the full retention incentive payment and the amount provided under the preceding sentence. Now, if you look at the chart, Mr. President, the best way to look at this is if you look at the $50,000, you go down about halfway, and you'll see that the high school district incentive pay was $300. And you can see that the new base pay would be $50,300. So 1% max of that is $503. What you do is you take that $300 and subtract the amount from that, and then you take the remaining amount, which is the $300 times the 0.4, so you come up with a subsequent amount that equals $321. So we're taking their incentive pay, we're subtracting it from the 1% maximum, taking that number and adding it to 0.4 times what their incentive pay was. Mr. President, that was the thinking and the agreement all along. This amendment clarifies that, and this chart shows you the difference in the impacts, and I'll be glad to answer any questions.
Any questions?
Mr. President, I think it calls for the ayes and nays.
Yes, it does. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson District 2?
Aye.
Anderson District 28?
Aye.
Barnard? Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
No.
Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
Kraft?
Aye.
Dockstader?
Aye.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Emmerich?
Aye.
Esquivel?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
Aye.
Hines?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Meyer?
Aye.
Nicholas?
Aye.
Nutting?
Aye.
Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Rothfuss?
Aye.
Schiffer? Scott, Von Platern, President Ross.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 29 ayes, 1 no.
By your vote, you have adopted the changes to the Joint Conference Committee report. We have a couple of concurrences. Better hand them to me. Senator Schiffer, are you ready on message number 349 in reference to Senate File 11?
Mr. President, I am ready.
Chief Clerk will read in the message.
February the 15th, 2013, from the House of Representatives, message number 349. Concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate File 11, Circuit Court Magistrates. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 51, no 7, excuse 2. The House respectfully asks the Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendment. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Senator Schiffer.
Mr. President, I move message number 349 to Senate File 11, Circuit Court Magistrates, and reluctantly ask the Senate to vote aye. Mr. President, this was a terrible bill, and as you know, I voted against it. But the House really improved it. They did a great work on it for the House. I'm just very proud of those folks over there. What they did is they went in on line 17 and deleted part-time magistrate and added one or more part-time magistrates. And the reason I think that that's really a good move, what we're talking about is those sparsely populated counties that don't have a court sitting in the county. And what the House said is, okay, Somehow we want to be guaranteed a presence of a magistrate. We understand we don't have the workload for a full-time magistrate, but we want to ensure that justice is served in those counties, and I think that's what the House did. So I urge you to vote aye. I think they truly did solve the problem, and I think it's a good bill.
Any discussion? The motion is that the Senate do concur on Senate File 11, and you're asked to vote aye. Chief Clerk, call the roll.
Anderson, District 2.
Aye.
Anderson, District 28.
Aye.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Amrick.
Aye.
Esquibel.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
Aye.
Hicks.
Aye.
Hines.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Nicholas. Nutting, Perkins, Peterson, Rothfuss, Schiffer, Scott, Von Fleitern, President Ross.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 29 ayes, 1 no.
By your vote, you have concurred on Senate File 11. Mr. Vice President, are you ready on message number 351 in reference to Senate File 117?
Yes, sir, Mr. President, I am.
Reading clerk will read in the message.
From the House of Representatives, message number 351, concurrence requested. Mr. President. Senate File 117, Confidentiality of Domestic Abuse Victim Information. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 57, noes 1, excused 2. The House respectfully asks the Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendment. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
There be about.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move message number 351, concurrence requested, Senate file number 117, and ask the Senate to vote aye. Mr. President, the House did two things. One of them was concern about the language relative to identifying information and thought that it might be an issue where they could redact other personal information. And if you look at any one of the particular changes they made throughout the bill, if you look like on page 3, resident, any other, they would strike the word identifying, leave information, and say identifying the resident of. So, Mr. President, what they did is they clearly said that we're looking at the resident of, which I think really clarifies the intent of the bill. Mr. President, the other thing they did was on page 3, line 13, and they struck the language or country, and they inserted another state or territory of the United States. I ask that you vote aye.
Any discussion? The motion is that Senate do concur on Senate File 117, and you've been asked to vote aye. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson, District 2.
Aye.
Anderson, District 28.
Aye.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Dockstader, Driscoll,
aye.
Amrick,
aye.
Esquibel,
aye.
Geis,
aye.
Hastert,
aye.
Hicks,
aye.
Hines,
aye.
Johnson,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Nutting,
aye.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Rothfuss,
aye.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Von Fleitern,
aye.
President Ross.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 30 ayes.
By your vote, you have concurred on Senate File 117. We have some signing of enrolled acts. Senate Enrolled Act 33 being original Senate File 87.
Chief Clerk will read it.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 33 being original Senate File 87, an act relating to motor vehicle insurance.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act 33 being original Senate File 87. I have so signed. Senate Rolled Act 34 being original Senate File 126.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 34 being original Senate File 126, and act relating to motor vehicles.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act 34 being original Senate File 126. I have so signed. Senate Enrolled Act 35 being original Senate File 127.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 35 being original Senate File 127, an act relating to liens.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act 35 being original Senate File 127. I have so signed. Bills on second reading. House Bill 24, first, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 24, probate amendments.
House Bill 24 having been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. House Bill 47, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 47, confidential student disciplinary hearing.
House Bill 47, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. House Bill 51, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 51, probate objections to appointment.
House Bill 51, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 94, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 94, immunization by pharmacists.
House Bill 94, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. House Bill 133, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 133, human trafficking.
House Bill 133, having been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. House Bill 153, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 153, representation of children in compact proceedings.
House Bill 153, having been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. House Bill 154, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 154, representation of children in CHINS proceedings.
House Bill 154, having been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. House Bill 187.
House Bill 187, campaign finance.
House Bill 187, having been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. House Bill 225. Second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 225, transfer of ownership of livestock and brands.
House Bill 225, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, we're at that order of business. Bills on third reading and final passage. Do you have a consent list? Oh, wait. Excuse me. I forgot. Senator Perkins. Or Senator Christensen.
Mr. President, just needed to report on the Concurrence Committee on House Bill 112. And we made some real progress, but where we're at is we're requesting to have a new committee assigned and make it for an open committee.
Okay, the request is that I reappoint a conference committee on House Bill 112, having failed the first conference committee. Be a second conference committee, which would be a free committee. The committee will be as follows. Driscoll, chairman. Perkins and Nicholas. Mr. Majority of Florida, we are now at that order of business. Consideration of bills on third reading and final passage. Do you have a consent list?
Thank you, Mr. President. I do have a third reading's consent list. First order of business, without objection, I'd ask that House Bill 215, Senate Investments for a Public Purpose, be set back one more day.
Without objection, House Bill 215 will be laid back for third reading tomorrow.
And, Mr. President, with that in mind, I'd now like to move the following third reading consent list. Folks, there are three bills that have been removed from the green sheet. We've removed House Bill 55, Senate Mining or Surface Mining Operations Exemptions, House Bill 92, Interference with Emergency Calls, and House Bill 175, Juvenile Citations, Notification of by Law Enforcement. So I move the following third reading consent list. House Bill 25, Simulcasting of Paramutual Events. House Bill 31, Printing of State Directory and Constitution. House Bill 32, Elections, Vacancy Appointment Process. House Bill 84, Livestock Fence Repairs. House Bill 90, Recreation Liability Activities. House Bill 98, County Fees. House Bill 109, Interstate Shipment of State Inspected Meats. House Bill 117, Administrative Rules, Takings Assessment. House Bill 122, Alcoholic Beverages Purchases Acceptable Identification. House Bill 131, Game Fish Definition. House Bill 146, Athletic Trainers Licensure. House Bill 150, Bonds for Certificates of Title. House Bill 161, Outdoor Advertising Fees. And House Bill 171, Fuel Tax Gasoline Definition.
Would any of the senators like any of the bills removed from the consent list? Seeing none, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the Senate? House Bill 25, Simulcasting of Paramutual Events. House Bill 31, Printing of State Directory and Constitution. House Bill 32, Elections, Vacancy Appointment Process. House Bill 84, Livestock Fence Repairs. House Bill 90, Recreation Liability Activities. House Bill 98, County Fees. House Bill 109, Interstate Shipment of State Inspected Meats. House Bill 117, Administrative Rules, Takings, Assessment. House Bill 122, Alcoholic Beverages, Purchases, Acceptable Identification. House Bill 131, Game Fish Definition. House Bill 146, Athletic Trainers Licensure. House Bill 150, Bonds for Certificate of Title. House Bill 161, Outdoor Advertising Fees. And House Bill 171, Fuel Tax Gasoline Definition. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson, District 2.
Aye.
Anderson, District 28.
Aye.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Dockstetter.
Aye.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Emmerich.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
Aye.
Hicks.
Aye.
Hines.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Nutting. Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Rothfuss,
aye.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Von Platern,
aye.
President Ross.
Aye.
On the consent list, 30 ayes. House Bill 25, are there any changes?
Aye
to no. Von Platern, aye to no.
Perkins, aye to no.
Scott, aye to no. Dockstetter, aye to no. Case, aye to no.
Peterson,
aye to no. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. House Bill 25, 24 ayes, 6 noes. House Bill 31, are there any changes? Closing vote. Case, aye to no. Closing vote closed. House Bill 31, 29 ayes, 1 no. House Bill 32, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing vote closed. House Bill 32, 30 ayes. House Bill 84, are there any changes? Closing vote. Case, aye to no. Closing vote closed. House Bill 84, 29 ayes, 1 no. House Bill 90, are there any changes?
Ross, aye to no.
President Ross, aye to no. Closing. Perkins, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. House Bill 90, 28 ayes, 2 noes. House Bill 98, are there any changes? Schiffer, aye to no. Closing vote. Meyer, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. House Bill 98, 28 ayes, 2 noes. House Bill 109, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing vote closed. House Bill 109, 30 ayes. House Bill 117, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing vote closed. House Bill 117, 30 ayes. House Bill 122, are there any changes? Case, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. House Bill 122, 29 ayes, 1 no. House Bill 131, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing vote closed. House Bill 131, 30 ayes. House Bill 146, are there any changes? Case, aye to no. Dockstader, aye to no. Perkins, aye to no. Cooper, aye to no. Schiffer, aye to no. Meyer, aye to no. Driscoll, aye to no. Burns, aye to no. Hicks, aye to no. Bebout, aye to no. Christensen, aye to no. Johnson, aye to no. Nicholas, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. House Bill 146, 17 ayes, 13 noes. House Bill 150, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing vote closed. House Bill 150, 30 ayes. House Bill 161, are there any changes? Hicks, aye to no. Driscoll, aye to no. Cooper, aye to no. Meyer, aye to no. Barnard, aye to no. Dockstader, aye to no. Christensen, aye to no. Nutting, aye to no. Burns, aye to no. Case, aye to no. Coe, aye to no. Bebout, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing Vote closed. House Bill 161, 18 ayes, 12 noes. House Bill 171, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 171, 30 ayes.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, House Bill 25, House Bill 31, House Bill 32, House Bill 84, House Bill 90, House Bill 98, House Bill 109, House Bill 117, House Bill 122, House Bill 131, House Bill 146, House Bill 150, House Bill 161, and House Bill 171 have passed the Senate. House Bill 55, third reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 55, Surface Mining Operations Exemption, sponsored by Representative Gearer, and Act relating to environmental quality, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
We have an amendment. The reading clerk read in third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 55.
House Bill 55, third reading amendment number 1, page 1, line 1.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 55 and ask for the body's favorable consideration. Mr. President, I was reading this bill, and at first blush, I thought it was kind of like a bill that we did here earlier, that we just pretty much took the roads out of the mining operation and excluded them from the annual 10 acres, and we had done that before in another bill and for gravel pits, and I thought, well, that's just fine. But then I looked a little closer, and there's some language that was stricken on page 2, line 2. And the language that was stricken, and I'll read this for the folks here. It says, for surface mining operations not involving more than 10,000 yards of overburden and 10 acres of land. And the language that was stricken was 10,000 yards of overburden. And, Mr. President, I thought that, you know, that perhaps that the 10,000 yards figure was something that was, you know, probably, you know, not enough. But to remove it entirely and to have, you know, absolutely no, I guess, guidance on the amount of overburden on these small mines, perhaps that was also unrealistic. And so what we do with this amendment, Mr. President, is simply reinsert that 10,000 yards of overburden. And as the process would work then, Mr. President, if we reinsert the stricken language, then a conference committee could be appointed, and we could come up with a number that would probably be realistic, that these mining operations could live with, but would not take the limitation entirely off. Because, Mr. President, I feel that if you remove the restrictions entirely or that guidance entirely, we could end up with some unintended consequences. And so I think it would be a prudent thing to do in the Senate to reinsert that stricken language, talk about it in conference, and try to come up with a number that's realistic that will work for the miners, but not have that unintended consequence of perhaps causing some situations that frankly, the reason for the original 10,000 yards restrictions was put in there in the first place. So I think we needed a little more discussion on that, Mr. President. If we reinsert the stricken language, we'll have that discussion and maybe come up with something that puts in a fair balance.
Discussion on the amendment. Mr. Vice President.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I would urge the senators to defeat this amendment and Members of the Senate, this is for the small mining permit, and recognize that there are three permits that these small mining permits have to go through. One is for the air, one is for water, but the most inclusive one is for land quality. And they have to submit and go through a complicated process for the small mining permit Land Quality Division within the Department of Environmental Quality. The main reason for taking out the 10,000 yards is what we're seeing in these small mining permits, and that's a yearly criteria that we've set up. That's not for the life of it, for anything that it's in 1 year, is because of the extensive overburden. So what you have is a situation where they may have a lot of overburden, and rather than if you have the 10,000 yards limitation in there, then they're limited by the overburden they can remove, but they could still go up to the 10 acres. So you're asking them to spread out. That becomes problematic, and with the overburden, because the gravel is deeper than it has been in other areas, you really limit them. I will also submit to you that this was a compromise worked out between the department and the people that mine the gravel, and I think it is a good compromise. I don't think there's anything we need to go back and discuss. I think it's very clear what we're trying to do. We're trying to do it within the laws that we have under the Division of Land Quality, yet allow the flexibility because of the overburden that we're getting to be able to eliminate that 10,000 yards language in there. Of course, we also have included in that the roads would not be used and be part of that 10 acres affected, because a lot of these small mining operations are getting further and further off the main road, and if you had to include the land, then you really limit the operators from the ability to do what they want to do, which is mine the gravel.
Senator Schiffer.
Mr. Chairman, rising in support of this amendment. What the 10,000 acre overburden limitation does is make sure that when you get a small mining permit, it'll be a small mine. That's why that's in there. If you take that 10,000 limitation off, what's going to happen is a small mine is going to become a very large mine, and that's the way they string them together. So I urge you to support the amendment.
Discussion? Further discussion? Senator Meyer, for your second time.
Thank you, Mr. President. And Mr. President, that was my concern too, is that these are for only 1 year, so you could end up with a tremendous amount of overburden, because this is 10 acres in 1 year, then 10 acres in another year, in 10 years this could be 100 acres. So I felt that, you know, we needed some discussion as far as the amount of overburden. And maybe 20,000 yards is a number, but I think we have to have something that's realistic. Taking it entirely off, Mr. President, I just believe it's unrealistic to the size and the scope that these small mines actually turn into big mines. So I ask for your favorable vote.
Question is, shall third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 55 pass? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Thank you. All those in favor, please stand. All those opposed? Fifteen and 13? Who are we missing? Who has a conflict? Oh, Charlie has a conflict. Okay. Chair votes aye. Amendment passes. House Bill 55, having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Oh. Thing's done. House Bill 55, having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson, District 2. Anderson, District 28.
No.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Amrick.
Aye.
Esquibel.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
Aye.
Hicks.
Aye.
Hines.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Nutting. Perkins.
No.
Peterson.
Aye.
Rothfuss.
Aye.
Schiffer.
No.
Scott Conflict. Von Flateren.
Aye.
President Ross.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 55, 25 ayes, 4 noes, and 1 conflict.
House Bill 55, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, House Bill 55 has passed the Senate. House Bill 92, third reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 92, Interference with Emergency Calls, sponsored by Representative Reeder, and Act Relating to Crimes and Offenses, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
We have an amendment. Reading clerk will read in third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 92.
House Bill 92, third reading amendment number 1, page 2, line 12.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 92 and ask for the body's favorable consideration. Mr. President, this goes into the offense if someone basically pulls the fire alarm or dials 911. What this does, Mr. President, is provide for a lesser fine for a juvenile. It says a violation of this section is punishable by a fine of not more than $200 or 200 hours of community service or both. And it defines juvenile as we have in another section of law. So, Mr. President, I got to looking at this and trace back through the fine. And, folks, this is $750 or 6 months right now without the amendment. And I kind of felt for some high school kid that was doing a prank or maybe some two-year-old that grabbed the phone and dialed 911 that we should have a lesser fine. Perhaps it might save the parents a little bit of legal fees. They might say to their young son or daughter that made that mistake that, you know, it's a time for you to take your medicine here and you've got to come up with the $200 and you got to do some community service. And I felt it was an appropriate type of a penalty for those folks. Try to keep them out of the main throw of the juvenile justice system and all of those things. I just thought it was more appropriate of a penalty, Mr. President, for juveniles. And I would hope that the body would consider that a good amendment.
Discussion on the amendment. Senator Von Flater.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would hope that our legal system would understand a two-year-old, if I can use the term, butt dialing, a 911 with his diaper. But I would also say that these crimes can go all the way from that. It has nothing to do with pulling fire alarms because it's 911. But it can go all the way from that point all the way up to pulling total emergency vehicles away from another potential wreck. I would like the courts to have the leeway to understand the diaper hitting 911 or life lost because the emergency vehicles are pulled off, the police are running after bogus 911 calls. So I ask you to resist this amendment. I think the courts have that leeway. Juveniles are handled in a different manner. I don't think we need to state it in this bill.
Further discussion? Question's been called. All those in favor of third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 92 say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Amendment has failed. House Bill 92, having been read three separate times, question is, shall the bill pass? Chief Clerk, call the roll.
Anderson District 2. Anderson District 28. Barnard. Bebout. Burns. Case. Christensen. Coe. Cooper. Kraft. Dockstader. Driscoll. Emmerich. Esquibel. Geis. Hastert. Hicks. Hines. Johnson.
Aye.
Landon.
No.
Meyer.
No.
Nicholas.
No.
Nutting.
Aye.
Perkins.
No.
Peterson.
Aye.
Rothfuss.
No.
Schiffer.
Aye.
Scott.
Aye.
Von Flateren.
Aye.
President Ross.
Aye.
Driscoll, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 18 ayes, 12 noes.
House Bill 92, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, House Bill 92 has passed the Senate. House Bill 175, third reading of the House Bill. Senator Perkins.
May I have the privilege of the floor for just a moment?
You may.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have in the balcony above you a group of outstanding I believe sophomores and juniors from Kelly Walsh High School in Casper, who are visiting here with Sally O'Brien today to see how it works down here. If you would join me for a moment, Mr. President, and welcome them. Hello, I'd appreciate it.
Welcome to the Senate. Third reading of House Bill 175.
House Bill 175, Juvenile Citations Notification by Law Enforcement, sponsored by Representative Throne, an act relating to juveniles, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
We have an amendment. Reading clerk will read in third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 175.
House Bill 175, third reading amendment number 1 to engrossed copy. Delete the case second reading amendment.
Senator Christensen.
Mr. President, thank you. I move third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 175 and ask the body to vote for this amendment. In reflection of our amendment last week, I got to considering, Mr. President, all the work and some of the activity that goes on. And they say, you know, when it rains, it pours. And quite often that's the circumstances with law enforcement and some of their business. And it the original language that refers to attempts to notify, I think, meets the standard. I suspect that's language that will help raise the bar. People will reach out and they'll go after those notifications. But this amendment was striking the second reading amendment, takes it back to those times when it is raining and pouring, and these officers or dispatchers, whoever may be out there, all of a sudden their plate's overflowing. And to leave the bill intact without this third reading amendment, I think sets at some point it'll set law enforcement, public safety up for failure, and I'm not sure that's what we're after. I'd encourage you to vote for this third reading amendment.
Further discussion, Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to think about this a little bit, Mr. President. All we did was to say it's not just about making an attempt. We want you to spend a little time and make sure or make a reasonable effort to notify a child's parents. It doesn't say you have to do it within 5 minutes or 10 minutes or 2 days. You know, if there's if there's an emergency, there's plenty of things on the plate. It just says, hey, catch up to the kid's parents. Make an effort to tell them. And that's important, Mr. President, because if you have a kid that gets a citation and you don't know about it, and they had in there that they just had to attempt, and that attempt could have consisted of trying a phone call, that's not good enough, you guys. These are our kids. Don't you want to know? And we're not telling law enforcement, hey, drop everything and do this. We just say reasonable. And we also say that they can designate something. So it doesn't have to be the officer. It could be, you know, another person in the whole organization that follows up on these juvenile citations and makes sure the parents are notified. These are our kids. Don't you want to know? Don't you want them to, like, do more than just try to make a phone call to let you know? Thank you, Mr. President.
Is there further discussion? Senator Burkett.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, on and in favor and on and for the amendment. Mr. Chairman, I agree that parents ought to be notified. And certainly the bill takes a great step forward in that in the past there hasn't particularly been a requirement that they be notified, I don't believe. And so the bill takes a good step forward in creating and asking for notification. But, Mr. Chairman, I ask the members of the Senate to think about a little bit different paradigm. In a paradigm that most of us come from, we come from where parents are active and parents are easily get a hold of. Typically, most of us, I would assume, are probably fairly easy to get a hold of to find that. But there's a different paradigm out there, Mr. President, that creates some problems. And first of all, not all parents, sadly, would welcome a call from police or other governmental office and might very well not answer the phone. In addition to that, in this day and age, when we find out that oftentimes we're in second and third generations where parents are introducing their children to drugs and to other illegal activities, where we have the parents actually in it become the initiators and are passing that problem on to the next generation, that's a different problem. And when we have the bills that stands now, if this amendment's not adopted, it requires at least attempt and take all reasonable actions necessary. That is a heavy burden to take all reasonable actions necessary. What I believe that does is make notification of the parent paramount in the entire statute. And it's sad. It's a sad but true fact this day that that's not in many instances a realistic paradigm. And so I ask you for favorable consideration on this amendment.
Further discussion, Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. President. On and against the amendment, folks. You can't on the one hand say that parents ought to be greater involvement and then take them out. In many instances, in most instances, particularly small town, they know how to get a hold of folks. They know how to get a hold of parents. And if it takes a little extra effort, that's great. Parents ought to be involved. They ought to know. And, in many instances, the parents may say, look, it's a good cooling off period that ordinarily make the right decisions, but parents ought to be part of that decision.
Further discussion? Senator Christensen for your second time.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Share a scenario with you if I can. It's late in the shift. There's been a couple of traffic accidents. There's been a citation written, and a couple more calls come in. It's not unusual for officers to have calls stacked up to the end of their shift, working into overtime to try and process someone who may have been arrested and so forth. The dispatch centers nowadays are quite often very busy and to the point where some of our agencies are going to report online because they're trying to have them deal with shortages and budgets and so forth and manpower. And then it rolls over and you say it doesn't have to happen today but another day. Well, folks come in the next day, and quite often they have calls stacked up waiting for them. I'm not exaggerating when I tell you that it can get very busy, even in Wyoming towns. And we think about our small towns, and this does happen. The language that says shall attempt, I think law enforcement will take it serious. And it'll be another checkbox that they have to look at, that supervisors will keep an eye on, making sure that they're doing their jobs out there. This is a big change, and it's a big step forward. But to make it a hard line, I just think that in time you're going to have some problems, and it actually sets the stage for conflict coming back against the very people that are trying to ensure the safety of our communities.
question is, shall third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 175 pass? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Amendment has failed. House Bill 175, having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson District 2?
Aye.
Anderson District 28?
Aye.
Barnard?
Aye.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
Kraft?
Aye.
Dockstader?
Aye.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Amrick?
Aye.
Esquibel?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
Aye.
Hines?
Aye.
Johnson?
Landon,
aye. Meyer,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Nutting,
aye.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Rothfuss,
aye.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Von Flatern,
aye.
President Ross.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 30 ayes.
House Bill 175. Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, House Bill 175 has passed the Senate. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, we're at that order. Oops, excuse me.
Mr. President.
Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. May I have privilege of the floor before we get to...
Yes, you may.
Thank you. Mr. President, I'd like to welcome some guests that we have here from the Albany County Parent Leadership Training Institute that I believe are up in the balcony. If you guys would stand up. Coming over here and watching the session. Welcome them on behalf of the Senate, if we would.
Welcome to the Senate. Mr. Vice President.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. President. Members of the Senate, if you would now grab your goldenrod, and I'll just explain a few things. Mr. President, it is now official that the Joint Conference Committee report has been adopted. And, Mr. President, the same numbers that you've seen before are existing in this particular goldenrod dated the 19th. If you look at page 1, the amount of money left available to the body after the Joint Conference Committee report has been adopted. If you look under budget bill broad transfers, that's $6.225 million. That is the amount of money that's on the table. Mr. President, if you look to the second page, which is at the bottom of that, you'll see the amount of money that we have during this general or this general session that's still out there. And, Mr. President, that is the $6.145 million. That amount is included in the $6 million that we still have left. It's assuming this would all be spent. The other thing, Mr. President, if you go over to page 4 to the School Foundation Program, there's a couple bills still lingering there, and I want to just be sure the body understands. One is that House Bill 255, year-round school calendar incentive. That bill did not get out of your Senate Appropriations Committee, but until it's not reported out on this Friday, the last day of committee of the whole, that $3 million stays on there. But in essence, that is gone. The other one, Mr. President, is House Bill 230, school safety and security. That has been re-referred to your Senate Appropriations Committee, and we'll be looking at that this week. And, Mr. President, the other one is House Bill 250, the Public Employee Retirement Plan. The House rejected the Senate position, and that still has to go to a conference committee. I'll be glad to answer any questions.
Questions? Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, we're at that order of business, consideration of bills on general file.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move the Senate resolve itself into committee of the whole.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion's carried. Senator Christensen.
Committee of the Whole, please come to order. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 18. The reading clerk will read the House bill.
House Bill number 18, Telecommunication Internet Protocol Enabled Services, sponsored by the Corporations Committee, and Act relating to telecommunications. It was referred to Committee number 7, Corporation Election Political Subdivision, reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Case, Johnson, and Nutting. No, Senators Hines and Scott. Senator Case, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What's your pleasure, Senator Case?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with a do pass recommendation on House Bill 18, Telecommunications Internet Protocol Enabled Services. And, Mr. Chairman, there were no standing committee amendments, so I'd like to tell you a little bit about this bill. It's sort of the first dip in the water, I suppose, about what's to come, I think, as we move towards changes that are happening in Washington and changes that are about to happen in Wyoming, because in Wyoming, our Public Utility Commission's law with respect to telecommunications will sunset in 2015. So that means that we're going to dodge the bullet a little bit this year, but by next year we're going to have to start on a rewrite of our telecommunications law. But in the meantime, Mr. Chairman, some events have kind of taken us over, I guess. And as you can imagine, the telecommunications world has changed. When I first came down to the legislature, those phone booths were filled over there, and we spent most of our time catching calls and going in there. Nobody had anything in their pocket that would give them a telephone call, and we certainly didn't have computers on our desks at that time. And so, it's just changed so much. Now, either my phone or my computer can achieve a telephone call without the use of the landline, and which would be those things in there. Nobody goes in those booths anymore. Sometimes I actually go in there and take a nap, Mr. Chairman. You probably didn't notice. But Mr. Chairman, this is about those kind of new methods of making telephone calls. And it's saying, you know, we don't really regulate them now. It's a free market, and we're going to remove them from regulatory oversight. But it's important that we remember understand what's happening in the rest of the telecom system when we do this, Mr. Chairman. So, what in the world is voice over internet protocol? I guess the best way to think about it, Mr. Chairman, is it's a phone call over your computer. And it might be like there's a famous brand name, I think, who's pioneered a service. And you can do it with a video screen, or you can do it on audio, and you do it on your computer, and it just travels over the DSL line or the broadband connection, whatever you have. It doesn't necessarily use the landline at all, Mr. Chairman. We could do it at our desk right now with wireless. In essence, when you're sitting at your desk listening, you know, folks all over Wyoming are listening to us right now on the audio on their computers. That's in essence what we're talking about here, Mr. Chairman. Well, this type of protocol for sending, enabling telecommunication services used by cable television companies, for example, Mr. Chairman. So you now can purchase telephone service from your cable company. Other people use the same protocol. And what is clear in this bill is we're talking about where this type of protocol of data, voice over internet protocol, is used from end to end for the call, not where it's only used in the middle. And here's what it really comes down to on this bill, Mr. Chairman, is that when you actually deregulate something or excuse something from regulatory oversight, there are other factors that you have to consider, because there are built-in subsidies in the telecommunications world. And we wanted to be sure that these companies that are now going to be excused from being regulated still continue to pay into the subsidy funds that do things like universal service, provide for the relay system for the hearing impaired, provide for 911 and E911 taxes and assessments, and also continue to fund our Public Utility Commission, even though they're not going to be regulated by it. So, Mr. Chairman, the bill is actually pretty simple. It defines Internet protocol. An Internet protocol-enabled service, on the bottom of page 1, means any service, capability, functionality, or application other than VoIP using existing Internet protocol or any that enables the end user to send or receive a communication in existing Internet protocol format or any successor Internet protocol format utilizing a broadband connection at the end user's location, regardless of whether it's voice, data, or video. And this is saying it's a new section, Mr. Chairman, and it this is what we're not going to regulate. So this voice over Internet protocol service enables real-time two-way voice communication, uses a broadband connection, and permits a user to receive a call that originates on the public switch telephone network. And so that's what it is, Mr. Chairman. B on the top of page 3 is what this bill does. It says the commission shall not regulate IP-enabled service or voice over Internet protocol service. However, nothing in this section affects or modifies all of these things. One is the application of wholesale tariffs or commission authority to implement or enforce any rights, duties, or obligations of any party related to wholesale services. This is interconnection. Doesn't affect interconnection. Under any authorities under the Federal Communications Act, Mr. Chairman, and things with respect to the Universal Service Fund there, any jurisdiction over switched access charges, that's where companies buy services from other companies, any obligation to provide video or cable service by any entity under applicable law. What that's referring to is that there are federal programs where folks are required to provide reduced fee connection to schools, libraries. Sometimes it involves Indian reservations and other things under federal law. Mr. Chairman, a key point is on page 4, lines 4, 5, 6, and 7. This does not affect any obligation to offer essential telecommunications service. Mr. Chairman, this is called ETC. And what it means is if you are the designated ETC carrier, or the essential telecommunications service carrier, what you have to do is you have to provide that service. We had some debates about, that's called the carrier of last resort, meaning there will be somebody regulated. It's usually a landline company, but conceivably it could be one of these companies. And if they are designated as the essential telecommunications service provider, Mr. Chairman, then they still have that obligation. This law does not excuse them from that obligation. Now, there will be, I think, a Committee of the Whole amendment right in this area, Mr. Chairman, that further clarifies that. Mr. Chairman, on page 4, section C, it says that if you voluntarily choose to receive Wyoming Universal Service funds to support voice over IP, then you are going to be regulated, Mr. Chairman. And in D, these are the provisions that I would need to talk to you about. Line 19, page 4, voice over Internet protocol service shall not be subject to the following. Mr. Chairman, what this means is that they're still going to pay into the Universal Service Fund, which is on lines 22 and 23. They're still going to pay into the E91 on lines 1 and 2 upon page 5. They're going to pay any special fee for the hearing impaired, which is on lines 5 and 6. And they're going to pay for the Public Utilities Commissions on line 8 and 9. Mr. Chairman, that's the bill. What it does is say we're not going to regulate voice over Internet protocol. We're not going to worry about how you might make a telephone call at your computer or a similar situated call that might happen on your phone or your cell phone, Mr. Chairman, or your landline phone, but it's going to take special equipment set up by the cable company to do that. We're not going to regulate that. But they're still going to have to pay the taxes. They're still going to have to provide those assessments, so they're not excused entirely. And, Mr. Chairman, finally, if they are a designated essential telecommunications service provider, they're going to be covered by that part of our law, Mr. Chairman. That's the bill. Happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Senator Case. Senator, we do have a committee of the whole amendment. Senator Scott, are you ready?
House Bill 18, Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1, to engross copy, page 4, line 6.
Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, I move adoption of this Committee of the Whole Amendment. Mr. Chairman, as I look at one of these deregulation bills in the telecommunication area, I get particularly concerned about two different sets of constituents that I have. One, I represent some of the areas in Casper that are the least well-off economically, where people, particularly many of the people that are older, retired, on a fixed income, have trouble affording their telephone service, and it's something they very much need. And the obligation for essential services is very important to them, and the regulation of the price such that it doesn't get unreasonable is very important to them. And I want to make sure that those people are protected. Second, Mr. Chairman, I've got a number of constituents who are in areas where they've got landline coverage, but they don't have any other coverage. They don't have broadband. They don't have cell phone. They need that essential telecommunication services, and they don't have, they're in higher cost areas and don't have the protection of the marketplace to protect them. I also have a few constituents, Mr. Chairman, who still have no telephone service whatsoever because they're beyond the landline and beyond the reach of the cell phone. I don't know what to do about that. But for those other two sets, I think the obligation to offer essential telecommunication services, which you see on page 4, is essential. And I was concerned the way it was written on that there's two different ways to get out of offering an essential service. You can, if you just say we aren't going to offer it, this would forbid that. But if you said we're going to offer it, but because it's the voice over internet protocol, we're going to raise your price quite a bit out there in the country because we're going to have to put up a special tower to reach you or something. I could see some of my rural customers in particular losing their service. I could also see the service being deregulated for some of the in-town customers, the poorer ones, by simply a price raise. And I think this could be read as saying as long as there's an offering, it doesn't matter what the price is. So the amendment was crafted. It was actually crafted in committee, but we're dealing here, Mr. Chairman, with a vast coalition of the telecommunications providers, and everybody wanted to check it out with their legal counsel and make sure it did what it purported to. And actually, they did improve the language slightly. But what it's intended to do, when it says regulated by the commission in other sections, and it says of this chapter, which was the improvement, in committee we had it of this title, chapter is more accurate. But what it does is by making that reference, it includes the price regulation sections so that those regulations are preserved, particularly for these customers for whom it's a real problem. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I'd be happy to answer any questions, but that's the origin of the amendment and the reason I bring it.
Thank you. Senator Case.
To be made previously that the senator talks about. I'm not sure it was a real danger, but I think it's a good work to improve this bill and make it more palatable. So I'd ask you to support the amendment.
Thank you, Senator Case. Senator Hines.
Mr. Chairman, I rise in support of the amendment, and I think it helps the bill make some of the concern. It's a deregulation bill. And in my lifetime, anything we deregulated in Wyoming, we paid for it through our pockets later on. And I'm concerned about this area also. This bill, I think this will help, because even if they provide services, there's a lot of people probably won't be able to afford the services. And if we go into the area that currently is regulated, I believe this amendment will still let the PSC do some regulating, what I think is important in this type of a bill. It's an area that I, as most of you have guessed, that knows me, that I'm not very well informed on. But it was an area that took a huge amount of work from the committee in the interim to ever get to this point. And as a good senator said, they were still working on it after it came out of the House and we were discussing amendments. So I don't think all the providers are 100% behind it, but they all said they could live with it. So I think that's important, and I think it's very important to get this amendment passed.
Another discussion? Are you ready for the question? Question having been called, all those in favor of Senator Scott's motion to adopt Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 18, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. All right. The motion to adopt Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 18 is passed. We're back on the bill. Question having been called. All those in favor of Senator Case's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rise to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation of House Bill 18, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. House Bill 18 is passed Committee of the Whole. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
I beg for a microphone. Mr. Chairman, I move the committee of the whole beg leave to rise and sit again.
You've heard the motion. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Mr. President. The motion carries.
What did she say? Messages from the House.
February the 19th, 2013, from the House of Representatives, message number 360, Joint Conference Committee report adopted. Mr. President, House Bill 1, General Government Appropriations. The House ratified the adopted Joint Conference Committee number 1 report on the bill listed above by the vote indicated. Ayes 50, no 6, excused 4. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
You want it back? Reports from standing committees.
February the 19th, 2013. Mr. President, your committee number 7, Corporation Election Political Subdivision, to whom was referred House Bill 259, State Elected Officials, Board Votes, and Chairmanship, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. I, Senators Case, Hines, Johnson, and Nutting, excuse Senator Scott, Senator Case, Chairman. February the 19th, 2013, Mr. President, your committee number 7, Corporation Elections and Political Subdivision, to whom was referred House Bill 237, engrossed, Unemployment Insurance Worker Misconduct. Reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Case, Hines, Johnson, and Nutting. Excuse Senator Scott, Senator Case, Chairman. February the 19th, 2013. Mr. President, your committee number 7, Corporations Election Political Subdivision, to whom was referred House Bill 219, engrossed, Campaign Finance Reporting, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Case, Hines, and Scott. Noes, Senators Johnson and Nutting, Senator Case, Chairman. February the 19th, 2013, Mr. President, your committee number 7, Corporation Election Political Subdivision, to whom was referred House Bill 129, engrossed, Voting Rights, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Case, Johnson, Nutting, and Scott. No, Senator Hines, Senator Case, Chairman.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. I was talking to my friend. And he's from Lander. We've known each other since we were kids. Mr. President, I'd move that the Senate stand in recess until 2 p.m.
Announcements. Senator Scott.
Mr. President, the Conference Committee on House Bill 86, Life Resource Center, will meet at 1:30 in the Senate Labor Committee room.
Senator Hines.
Mr. President, the Conference Committee on Senate File 28, Resident Preference Provision, will meet at 1 o'clock in our mineral room, SH-18.
Senator Von Flatern.
Thank you, Mr. President. The Conference Committee on Message Number 358, Senate File 45, will meet in as soon as the House gets out, in about 10 minutes, right here at my desk.
Senator Burns.
Mr. President, your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, will meet at 10 after 12 down at the House TRW committee room, H10, to discuss interim issues.
Any further announcements? You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Senate stands in recess until 2 p.m.